Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Ian Boyd, X's and O's expert of InsideTexas.com. How you doing today, Ian?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, you wrote an article this week that I wanted to try to get a little bit deeper into that I thought people might be interested in. It was the most difficult defenses you think Texas will face. You chose three, but you and I talked, and there's actually more than that that kind of enter into the conversation. So I want to kind of discuss the ones that you say are more like the top five. The three that you mentioned first were K-State, Baylor, and Alabama, but also Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Texas had problems with last year as well. Let's just start and give me your take on Kansas State and why you think that defense in particular may cause Texas some problems.
Yeah, we could really throw Tech in there too. The top three are the most interesting, distinctive. K-State is maybe the smartest coached team in the Big 12 on defense. Chris Klieman and his staff are just really good at game planning matchups. They have been ever since they arrived up there. It's totally Bill Snyder 2.0, same kind of deal. They have some good pass rushers. They have good blitzers. They have some good defensive backs, although the NFL just raided their secondary. If they want to drop everyone into coverage and try to defend Texas that way, they have huge nose tackles and good defensive linemen and linebackers to do that. If they want to blitz Texas and try to attack Texas before they can throw the ball, they have a sixth-year senior linebacker who's a good blitzer. They have good pressure packages to get extra pass rushers on the field. They're just a very versatile and well-coached team. So that they're just always going to be a challenge for really any offense. But certainly if your offense has any limitations, they will know how to make them show up.
What is their limitation, though?
Athleticism, for sure. Last year, it wasn't a huge problem for them. But their Sam outside linebacker, who's spinning down to edge this year, he was not, great in coverage. They preferred to have him blitzing or near the box. Their Will linebacker is one of those classic Kansas State walk-ons, former wrestler, surprisingly good in the box for being a small guy. But if you catch him out in space, you can really burn him. And then their secondary, they just lost one corner. Julius Prince went, in the second round of the NFL draft, right?
Early second, yep.
Early second. I thought Echo Boydo would be drafted as well. I'm sure he's an undrafted free agent somewhere. They're both gone. I don't know that they're going to go over a cliff because that staff clearly evaluates and develops well. But they're definitely losing some of their intense coverage skill. Oh, yeah, and then their safety was drafted, Joshua Hayes. They used him as a sort of a nickel cover safety. So he was in man coverage a fair bit too when he was drafted. All those guys are gone. So that's tough. They'll still be good, but that's definitely tough.
Well, they're the defending Big 12 champs, and so their defense played a large role in that, especially late. I thought you had a great comment, and you said TCU was 2-for-15 on third down against them in the Big 12 championship game, and that's just a stunning figure compared to what Texas was at times last year, right? And it's because they had so many players that could play multiple roles and how they used those guys. So I think K-State presents an interesting problem for Texas, particularly a Texas team without Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Because Robinson really did a lot of the dirty work against K-State last year and that win in Manhattan.
Bijan basically made that happen for Texas last year. I will note Kansas State did that to TCU with Echo Boydo going down with injury early in the game, and then Julius Brents also going down with injury later in the game. So they, as big losses as those are, they actually held up fairly decently against TCU with a freshman safety and two backup corners by the end of the game. So that's an impressive program.
All right, let's talk next, if you don't mind, Ian, about the team up in Waco. The Baylor Bears, you picked them as a tough team because you and I discussed this also, protection. They're a team with Dave Aranda that likes to create pressure from every which way and really gave Texas some problems last year. So where are you at with that as it relates to why you picked Baylor? Do they have better athletes this year, or is the defense mostly the same, or is it just Aranda in general?
It's Aranda. They still have, I want to say, five guys in the front six that were Matt Rhule recruits that are still hanging on, you know, that are still eligible. And so, you know, those guys are good because Rhule recruited them. And then they've been trained in Aranda's system now for, what is this, year four, right? So they really know the system well. They're going to be good at generating pressure. It's just how it's going to be with them. I don't know if their defense will be good overall because they lack athleticism in a lot of places that could really burn them. They may get burned behind the blitz a lot. But if you don't protect better than Texas did a year ago, it's not going to matter. You know, last year they had some stunts and some blitzes that had guys in Quinn Ewers' face within, like, at the top of his drop. He's dropping and then he's running for his life, which he, you know, didn't handle super well at times. I think that they can – there's a chance that – I think they will definitely do that to some teams. If they do that to Texas, it'll be a huge problem. That game I see is – it's not so much that Baylor is one of the greater challenges on the schedule or even that their defense is one of the greater challenges. It's more that they're a fantastic early test for Texas of whether or not this line has improved enough overall in protection to execute a pass-heavy offense down the stretch of the season.
I think it's early. It's in Waco.
Yeah.
I also think it's a good game to play before OU.
Yes.
Because Venables likes to bring various pressure with the linebackers as well.
Yeah. So, Oklahoma is also going to, I mean, whatever happens against Baylor, Oklahoma will probably pursue that strategy as well. They can't hold up in coverage. They don't have the dudes for it, but they have Desan McCullough. They have a lot of fast defensive linemen that are better rushing the passer than they are stopping the run. And I think Oklahoma absolutely will just go hog wild and throw every blitz they can think of.
Got it. Probably the best, or probably the most talented, easily the most talented defense Texas will see this year is Alabama. What is it that the Crimson Tide will do outside of that physical talent level that maybe concerns you?
Well, that's kind of the main thing. Kevin Steele in particular, his defenses for a long time now, I was mostly familiar with him at Auburn. He had a very good run at Auburn. And they were not very fancy at all. It was just he would choose really good athletes and develop them in the secondary. They play tight quarters coverage all the time and just not give you anything easy, much like Texas wants to do this year. And then their defensive line was usually stocked with a bunch of big Georgian kids that Auburn would get. They were future pros. Alabama has the personnel to just start doing the same thing immediately, right? They've got a lot of young blue chips in the secondary. They have a Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry back at cornerback. They have Dallas Turner still on the edge. They have big defensive linemen. Schematically, they may bring some exotic blitzes or some different coverages, but I think they may move a little bit away from that. They did a little more of that with Pete Golding. I think they may move a little more towards just kind of base defense execution with Kevin Steele. And so no one will do that with more talent against Texas than Alabama will.
Yeah, they're going back to basics, I think, on both sides of the ball. Is the real – from talking to some folks in Tuscaloosa, that kind of seems to be their MO or their plans, I should say, for this season. All right, Ian, let's talk a little bit about Iowa State, because the Cyclones, while they did not – have a great record last year, they did have a pretty stingy defense at times. What's Texas got to do to break through on that Iowa State defense?
They did do a pretty good job last year. They got a little bit lucky. We didn't really notice it much at the time, but Iowa State was down a starting outside linebacker against Texas last year. They had to start a guy that will take over this year probably. Texas really – they had a lot of answers for that style of defense that they didn't have in previous seasons with Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian. They would use different formations to try to be able to run the ball in cornerbacks. They had some different play action. I think Steve Sarkisian had to work pretty hard, basically, to scheme up ways to attack that defense. They're just very difficult. They're very sound everywhere. They play big physical players that can run and tackle. They will drop back in coverage and make you beat them on the, in the ground. And then when you try to do that, they have big physical players beating blocks. I think the path is probably a little bit different this year than last year. Last year, you know, they basically just worked hard to scheme angles in the run game, and that did the trick. I think the better way to beat them, and the way that Texas kind of has to anyways this year, is to actually spread them out. Part of the reason they will play drop eight coverages and have everybody back is because they don't want you to throw the ball. They're just begging you to run the ball and not to throw it on them because they don't have the caliber of athletes to match up across the board against a team as talented in space as Texas will be this year. So you have to spread them out even further. Like if people recall in 2019, Iowa State was shutting down Texas for the whole game. Texas got back into the game late by just spreading them out and having Sam Ehlinger throw from five wide, like every play. And then they finally found something. And then I think they blew that game on like a offsides on a field goal or something, right?
But not much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that you have to. That's the way you have to attack that team. Is you have to ignore them. You have to ignore the cheese, basically, and throw the ball anyway, even though they have layered coverages.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you mentioned those teams, K-State, Baylor, Alabama, Iowa State. I mentioned Oklahoma State at the outset on accident because they did give Texas problems last year, but they're not on the schedule this year. The other team that was very similar to Oklahoma State last year in that they completely shut down Texas in the second half was Texas Tech. What about the Red Raiders?
Yeah, Texas Tech, they're a little bit similar to Alabama. They're going to kind of line up and challenge routes. And they have good edge pass rushers and good interior defensive line pass rushers too, actually. So it will be similar to the Alabama test, but with, you know, another tier down of athlete and also later in the year. So that probably helps Texas. I think they will be one of the stiffer challenges in many regards. As far as why they are a challenge to Texas, it'll be for similar reasons as Alabama. Plus, you know, their willingness to go for it on fourth down and play keep away and just the extra familiarity they often bring into that matchup.
The last team I want to bring up to you is one that played in the national championship game.
Yeah.
They just had eight players drafted. So obviously a good number of those were on defense. And that's TCU. The Horned Frogs, you know, built by Gary Patterson, were pretty good on defense, and then Georgia just totally exposed them in the national championship game. What's the real TCU team, and what do they look like next year compared to this past year? And then furthermore, this is another 3-3-5 team that runs this, a lot of what Iowa State, for example, likes to run.
It's like half the league.
Yeah. So at they have better talent, you think, than Iowa State, though. So what are your thoughts there?
They had a lot of explosive athletes on the team last year that were drafted. They had Dylan Horton, the defensive end, and they had D. Winters, who's kind of a if Texas could create a position for Anthony Hill, they would want it to be the position that D. Winters played for TCU last year. Those guys are both gone. I don't really know where the pass rush comes from. And then they also lost Travius Hodges Tomlinson. In my estimation, they still have two NFL caliber defensive backs left from last year that they really leaned on, and Bud Clark, a safety, and Josh Newton, the cornerback. And I think they got a Florida transfer to play at corner, the Mansfield or Kimber.
Avery Helm, I think.
Avery Helm, that's right. Yep. So they still might be that good in pass coverage. Like last year, we thought Texas would run them over. We thought, at least I did, I thought Michigan would run them over. But they really loaded up the box and just played man coverage with those three guys. They will probably do that again. They'll probably still be good at it, but I don't know if the run defense will be as good. And I don't know. I just don't know if they can generate a pass rush without D Winters and Dylan Horton. As we've seen at Texas, it's hard to just, you know, you don't just throw a guy out there that looks a certain way and it's a guarantee that he can get to the quarterback for you.
I have to ask you this question. And that's two defenses we know absolutely nothing about. Wyoming and Rice. Do either of those two teams do anything that would concern you out of the gate? Those are the two non-conference teams other than Alabama.
No. Now, Rice, I know Rice caught Texas a couple of years ago with some sort of junk defenses that were just hard to draw up the offense against. I think they got like a huge shot on Sam Ehlinger even. I think I'm thinking of 2019. But they just don't have talent. Wyoming, when I've watched them, they're kind of like is Craig Bohl still there? He kind of has them operating as like an NFL farm team. He's really good at evaluating future NFL players. It's not just Josh Allen, like Isaiah Nayor. They had some massive offensive tackle that USC just poached that it might start for like left tackle for USC next season. So he's really good at finding NFL talent that other people overlook and developing them. But really for the benefit of poachers in the transfer portal or for the NFL, not so much for Wyoming in terms of fielding like complete great teams, you know?
So yeah, he's not. So it's very interesting. Chris Klieman followed Craig Bohl at North Dakota State.
Yep.
Bohl had them winning national championships as well. And they both had the same MO. Find guys that you could develop. 3 or 4 years down the road, they might be NFL picks. And Klieman's done that at K-State, and Bohl has done that. His problem is he's not in a major conference, so he's losing the transfer war. Not that Klieman's necessarily winning it either, but he's certainly not losing it to the level of Craig Bohl at Wyoming.
Bohl also came up. He was an assistant on the late 90s and early aughts Nebraska teams that I know you remember.
Yeah, a linebacker coach, by the way. All right, anything else you want to mention of defenses that Texas is going to face, and maybe put it into some sort of synopsis, Ian, about what you think Texas's offense should be able to do? Are they going to get stymied, not stymied by some of these? What are your thoughts?
So I think if I'm an opposing defensive coordinator and I look at this Texas offense, I see all these receivers and Quinn Ewers back, Jake Majors back, offensive tackles back. And I think, number one, we got to make sure that they can't just easily carve us up and throw for 300, 400 yards today, or we'll never be able to keep up. We're never going to be able to score enough points against this defense if their passing game takes off. So the teams that are going to give Texas trouble are the teams that are going to be the ones that can mitigate that somehow, either by daring Texas to run and still being able to hold up. So like Alabama, Kansas State, they have big physical nose tackles and defensive linemen that could allow them to do that. If you don't have that, then it's on to option B, which is you got to blitz and just beat Quinn Ewers before he can find his receiver, which is going to have to be pretty fast, because with as many good receivers as Texas has, it's not really going to be that hard for Sark to draw up like isolation plays basically for top receivers and just have it where Quinn Ewers pretty much knows who he's throwing to and just has to make the right throw.
Here's the reality, right? Is Vegas, at least right now, we expects Texas to win every game this year, except for Alabama.
Yeah.
And so Texas, in a way, at least theoretically, should be able to dictate its own outcome. Right. Even with an Alabama team, I think they're giving up 8.5 points at this stage of the betting cycle. But the idea that Texas necessarily has to worry about these defenses is different than these defenses being able to predicate what Texas is able to do, right? I mean, there's a little bit of mix of those two things. I think that people
these
need
are to the, mind. These are the teams that'll stress test them. These are the teams that'll make them prove they can run the ball without Bijan, that will make Quinn Ewers prove that he's really studied this offseason and upped his game. But if he has and Texas can, then they're, I mean, even the toughest defenses from last year, they might just steamroll because the talent really is there.
Got it. All right. That's Ian Boyd of InsideTexas.com, our X's and O's expert. We've been talking for Sundays for a couple of weeks. Everybody seems to like it. We're going to keep it going. Ian, thank you for your time again. Please visit us both at InsideTexas.com. For Ian, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this episode of On Texas Football.